so serious.
All the toys, all the time.
I am the game, and still getting trying to play you.
You know the rules. This isn't a toy.
But we bought it at the toy store.
We did, but the way I'm using it makes it an adult thing.
Are you ready to play the game?
Yeah! Welcome to the toy department with Matt Kolsky and Derek Madden.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. We're doing this one late, but it's another edition of the toy department. I'm Derek Madden. He's Matt Kolsky. How you doing, man? How is Super Bowl week treating you? I just asked a loaded question.
It's good and it's bad. It's exciting. It's a little much, but I'm getting through it.
I think people are definitely going to watch the Super Bowl. No doubt. But I don't sense a giant wellspring of excitement for this Super Bowl relative maybe to some others.
Really?
Yeah, and I'm wondering if it feels like that on the ground.
No, it doesn't feel like that on the ground because all the crap is happening. There's stuff all over the city of San Francisco. You can't drive anywhere. Certainly can't park anywhere. And
that sounds like Thursday, though, in San Francisco.
Oh, but, imagine Thursday times 10 is the problem. And so,
Thursday with a lot of extra Ys.
Right.
Thursday!
Whether or not there's a full-on level of excitement around the country is hard for me to speak on just because, between being a sports radio employee and literally sitting on media on Radio Row all week long, I'm certainly all up in it. So it's hard to imagine that anyone is ignoring it. I think it's kind of a intriguing football matchup. I know Carolina's become a prohibitive favorite, but it's far from I don't think the narrative of this game is that easy to predict.
Oh, I think it's already decided.
So what would your narrative be?
Well, my narrative is, and this is, maybe colored by my perspective as a Falcons fan, but we've already had a Bronco busted for prostitution going into the game.
But it was a practice squad Bronco.
But we know that means the other team's going to win. That's what happens when your player gets busted in a prostitution sting right before the game.
Well, I think it's a bigger deal if that's a starting safety as opposed to a practice squad safety.
Maybe, but history has shown.
One out of one times.
That's right. That's 100%, Matt.
Yeah, that's hard for you, and I'm sorry about your lot in life as a Falcons fan, but...
We only went one time.
Yeah.
And that's probably all we're getting.
I saw your boy today. Matty Ice was all over Radio Row today.
He was!
He drank a Matty Ice with Katie Nolan. He spent some time about 25, 30 feet from me at the Boomer and Carton show.
Really?
He was making the rounds.
Was he doing really well in his appearance and then just threw a random interception out of nowhere? Or
I did notice coming off the stage at Boomer and Carton, someone tossed a football to him to sign, and that all went fine. But when he threw it back, it ended up
it got ugly.
Actually hitting a nice young lady who ended up going to the hospital. It was a whole tragic...
Serious question. What was the saddest thing you saw on Radio Row so far?
Oh, wow. Well, this wasn't necessarily the saddest thing. The saddest thing on Radio Row are... Boy, this is probably not going to come off great, but it's a fact. Older women who have really overdone the dressing up and the makeup and potentially the plastic surgery and who are, I'm guessing, PR people for the most part that are strutting constantly back and forth all around all the radio stations, just in clothing that's a little too tight and a dress that's a little too much for the club and just a little much. It's just bad and it's sad. other than that, it's mostly not sad. It's very corporate. It's people selling crap. You know, it's just people selling crap everywhere, or more accurately, giving away crap in an effort to sell future crap.
Yeah. You know, the Washington Post wrote a great piece about why Radio Row is still a thing and why everyone does it. It's basically,
it's to give away crap. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's move on to something I think that made both of us happier. Some new shows on TV worth raving about.
Ooh, yeah.
FX. Coming
FX
strong
is killing it, man.
I have to say, I feel like FX really underrated as a television network as a whole. Like, the consistent level of quality shows coming out of that team, you know, they're not 100%, but the batting average is very high. And yet, rarely a network recognized with Emmys, and I don't necessarily think is thought of even in the category of HBO or AMC, and it's kind of a shame.
What do you have in mind when you say that before? I mean, okay, so we've talked about Fargo on this show, and we're about to talk about a couple more FX shows, but when you, like, looking backwards, what shows do you have in mind when you say that?
Well, The Americans, I think, is certainly...
I've not watched that, but I guess I should, huh?
Yes, you definitely should.
Okay.
You know, a brilliant, brilliant show. All going back to The Shield...
I never watched The Shield either.
Really underrated as a show that kind of was a game changer in terms of ushering in sort of the new era of television that we're in now.
Interesting. Okay.
And they've, you know, obviously there have been other interesting shows along the way.
Did you watch Sons of Anarchy? That's FX,
I was just
isn't
about
it?
To say Sons of Anarchy. That's a show I think that started as a really high quality show and then devolved into more of a just sort of a pulpy, popular, watchable show.
Uh-huh.
You could also say the same thing about Rescue Me, which I think started really well.
I watched Rescue Me, and you're right. It got completely insane by the end, but it was a good show.
Right. You know, quality comedies, It's Always Sunny.
It's Always Sunny. Louie. That's what I'm thinking, is it has some of the best comedy, some of my favorite comedy, because we've talked about You're the Worst. It's got Louie. It's got Always Sunny, which is still going strong in my eyes, and is one of the best comedies of all time, I think.
I mean, the League petered out at the end, but certainly had its
League.
Merits.
Yes. Yeah, no question.
So, you know, I think they've nailed it on a couple of different levels over a fairly long period of time.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Two new shows, and watch The Americans, by the way.
Okay.
Because it's awesome.
All right.
Two new shows on FX this week. The first is one that you love, the new Zach Galifianakis clown comedy.
I really enjoyed it. I mean, we're two episodes in, you know, but it's, if there's classic Zach Galifianakis, I think this is essentially what it is just, he's like a kind of lovable loser, but it's just so silly, and it's all very deadpan for the most part in terms of his performance. And the performance of the woman, I believe her name's Martha Kelly, who I don't even know how to describe, like, her role exactly in terms of, like, his life. But he is a guy who you learn quickly in the first episode, went to clown college in France, but spoke no French and quickly failed or dropped out. Not entirely clear. And ends up returning home to Texas and being a rodeo clown because it's the job he can get. But he takes himself very seriously as a French clown. And he's and again, Zach Galifianakis has this quality where he does this sort of buffoonish but innocent and hopeful and deadpan. He's just hilarious.
How high do you think he was during the pitch meeting for this show?
That's a great question.
Because Louis C.K. is part of the production team, right? So
right.
Was it like, did they go to, they go have a bang bang? They do a bang bang and smoke it up and come up with the idea for this thing?
I don't know, man. Like, I just, it's, I wonder about a guy like Galifianakis if he actually is high all the time or if he's just odd. Like,
it's probably some of both.
It probably is some of both. But the odd is what stands out more than, because again, he's so sincere about the way he plays this utterly ridiculous role. And, you know, I mean, there's without spoiling too much, he at one point in the first two episodes that I have seen so far, at one point tries to sort of take a juggalo under his wing as a clown. Like, it's just, but everything he does is like earnest. I don't know. It's hard to describe, but I found the first two episodes very funny.
The best advertisement is just you cracking up while, like, recalling various things that happened and trying to explain them to people. So.
I do really enjoy a sort of quirky comedy that, like, there's a level of, like, awkward quirkiness that I really get a kick out of. And in fact, as I get older, it might be the thing I get the biggest kick out of. Because as much as I still very much enjoy dumb comedy, and smart comedy for that matter, there's something about weird and awkward situations that really tickles me for whatever reason.
Well, and we are certainly in the golden age of awkward situation comedy.
Yes, we absolutely are, and I love it. It makes me feel great.
Yeah, I mean, there are, you know, there's a cottage industry between, you know, shows like Veep or Curb Your Enthusiasm or Louie or, you know.
Curb's a little too harsh for me, but, like, Louie I love. And just in general, I love Zach Galifianakis' comedy. Like, his, when he does weird one-liners and plays the piano, like, he's just so odd.
Yeah.
I like things, really great. That might be the best way to put it. I like things that can best be referred to as odd.
Have you ever seen his VH1 talk show?
The old one.
The old one, yeah. It was pre-famous, basically. This is sort of his first entry.
And it had, like, some weird neon light. Sort of a weird neon set. And, like, I'm pretty sure I saw it.
It was a lot weird. Yeah.
Yeah, I saw it years ago now.
But, I happened to catch it and kind of enjoyed it. And so I sort of watched it regularly enough.
Uh-huh.
And at some point, he realized that the show wasn't working.
Right.
And stopped giving a shit. Uh-huh. And then it got really weird. And those are the episodes that are great. Like, those are definitely the later Galifianakis episodes are fantastic. I can't recommend them highly enough. Speaking of high recommends.
Okay.
I watched People vs. O.J. Simpson last night. Did you catch the People vs. O.J. Simpson last night?
Man, I don't even know how to say how much I caught it. Like, I caught it, and then I used two hands to catch it, and then I, like, held it real tight, and then I hugged it, and then, like, I was like Paul Konerko with the World Series ball until I found Jerry Reinsdorf and handed it off to him. Like, it was everything. It was super entertaining. The acting was great. You spend the whole time being like, I can't believe this really happened. It's amazing. It's great.
It really is. And, like, I mean, look, you've probably seen ads for this, right, for a while. I know I have.
Oh, yeah.
And you start going, all right. But then you also start thinking about all the things that could potentially go wrong with something like this. It's from Ryan Murphy.
And John Travolta.
Yeah, there's a lot of glitzy casting. You already know the story. Like, strong disaster potential. And you watch about 10 minutes of this thing, and you realize, oh, no.
Oh, my God.
All those things that could go wrong completely went right.
So, Cuba Gooding Jr. is awesome. I mean, on edge the whole time as OJ, which is just like, you're waiting for him to completely freak out, and it's amazing to watch.
Schwimmer is awesome.
I couldn't believe how, and I got the feeling, I watched it with my roommate and another friend of his, and I got the feeling that at least one of them couldn't get over Ross being in the show. But I have to tell you, I couldn't believe how easily I got over Ross being in the show. I thought he was great, and Travolta, I think, is this is the best I've seen him act since I can't even think of what.
Yeah, it's been a while. It's been a while.
I mean, Face Pulp Off Fiction? Is it crazy to say that?
I don't know. I mean, he was the right guy for the role. Like, he letting him do kind of this over-the-top thing.
Yes.
It works perfectly. It's great. There's a lot of other just random, interesting casting. The guy who plays Johnny Cochran's excellent.
Oh, Courtney B. Vance is one of my favorite actors.
Yeah.
He's in a movie called The Last Supper. Have you seen that?
No, I have not.
Homework.
All right, homework. The Last Supper.
The Last Supper is, like, bring like, whatever, I mean, you're in Minnesota, so get some good beer.
that we do here.
Enjoy it with several beers. It is over the top ridiculous, but also just incredibly entertaining. It involves a young Cameron Diaz, if I remember correctly.
Okay.
Courtney B. Vance, and also the great Ron Perlman.
Oh, I enjoy a good Ron Perlman performance.
Boy, they gave him something to really chew on. It's a wild, weird, I believe, late 90s movie.
So, I feel like People vs. O.J. is going to be huge. And I think it's...
Oh, no question.
It's going to be a really fun show to talk about. Not the least of which, because it's spoiler-proof, right? Since everybody kind of already knows what happens.
Well, also check this out. I didn't even really think about this until the first episode ended. And like you said, spoiler-proof, the first episode ends with the Bronco driving.
Yes.
Like, the chase hasn't started yet, per se, but OJ's in the Bronco, and the cops realize he's trying to drive away. And like, boom... First, which was a perfect way to end the first episode, by the way.
Sort of, except this is one of the things where I realized how great I think the show is. Was like, if you'd ask me, you know, okay, there's going to be an O.J. Simpson show. When's the Bronco chase?
You'd say right
I would have guessed like episode like 4 or 5.
Oh,
you
really?
Know what I mean,
yeah. Oh wow. Oh no, and, I thought this was perfect because it's about the trial.
Yeah. No. Totally. And it did make me realize as I'm watching this, I'm like, oh wait, they're at this already. Oh, wait, there's so much more of this story to go.
Yeah.
And you realize, like,
how crazy
how
it's about to get.
This
oh,
whole
man.
Thing is, yeah.
There's so many incredible lines from, what's her name? Not Patricia Clarkson.
Sarah Paulson.
Sarah Paulson.
Who plays Marcia Clark.
Marcia Clark. Yeah, that's how I jumbled those all together. There are these incredible lines where she's like, you know, we're gonna look like morons, and it's like, oh, lady, no. you don't know the half of it. You know, like all this stuff where it's essentially it creates dramatic irony because we all know the story that's about to unfold that the characters don't yet know.
Yeah.
So I forget what I was talking about before we got distracted on the end of the first episode. Curses.
I that's a good question. There was a lot of things we were talking about, but I will say
I was gonna make a point about the end of the episode specifically. Oh well,
this is what happens when you let two stoners do a podcast. Apparently. That EW did a really great interview with the real Marcia Clark about the experience of watching this show, and I would recommend checking that out if you don't get it already. Because she was loath to revisit it, but I think even she got caught up with how well they had done all this. So, by the way, she's a fiction writer now. I had no idea. She writes novels.
No kidding. Clark.
Yeah.
Huh.
Don't know if they're any good, but, you know, I'm not assigning them for homework. But maybe... check them out one day.
Yeah. Well, in any
I can't event, wait to see more of this show, though.
Me neither. Here's a fun question to think about, which I thought about because, and unfortunately, the plan just got changed to where I'm not going to get to meet him anymore because I moved to a new location for Friday. But Cuba Gooding Jr. is coming on one of our shows on Friday. And the question, which I'm going to try to get one of our hosts to ask him since I won't be able to, which I desperately want to ask him, is quite simple. When you're going to play O.J. Simpson, you got to obviously get inside the mindset of O.J. Simpson. So what was Cuba? I would, especially after seeing it, I'm dying to know, as O.J. Simpson, what Cuba Gooding Jr.'s thought process is. Like, is it, I'm in complete denial of killing these people? Is it, I truly did not kill these people? Is it, I killed these people and I kind of know it, but I'm so committed to this lie, I'm going to make myself believe it? Is it, I'm just a liar and I definitely killed these two people?
I don't know.
You know what I mean?
I
would love to know what, how he got into that part. Like, what was that part mentally in his eyes?
I do think that one of the first questions, right, if you're talking to someone about the show, particularly someone who hasn't seen the show, is, you know, where does the show come down on the side of if he did it or not? And I do think the show sort of handles that deftly, where you're seeing the takes on everyone involved as to whether or not they think he did it. And there's probably more takes on one side than the other.
Yes.
But all sides are presented. You
Correct.
Know? And it's enough to sort of make you go, well, maybe he's, you know.
Well, until you hear the evidence, and then it's like, holy goodness gracious. I mean, there's a point in the first episode where they're, you know, they're trying to decide whether to arrest him, and they lay out the potential timelines and, like, kind of drop the evidence, figuratively speaking, onto a table in a pile, and it's like, whoa. And that was definitely one of the moments where I thought to myself, I can't believe this thing really happened.
Yeah.
Like, it seems like an unlosable case when it's presented to you with the facts at the beginning. It really does.
Yeah, but I mean, wouldn't you say the same thing about Stephen Avery's case?
I have no idea, as you well know.
Oh, that's right. Okay. Well, you would. And then maybe it turns out to be not so simple. And look, I'm not trying to equate those two cases, but I do think in the eyes of the law, and I think the show is doing a good job of trying to set up the conditions in that society that, led to some of the attitudes that created the end result there, you know?
Yeah, undeniably. And that's one of the other thing. Courtney B. Vance as Johnny Cochran is only slightly involved in the first episode, but it's very clear that the way they're coming at that character is he saw this as an opportunity to fight a civil rights battle.
Yeah. You don't expect to see a portrayal of Cochran as a principled man.
No.
And that's the angle the show is coming from.
Yeah, and you know what? Part of it is the prince. Yes, they're portraying him as principled, which is not what we think of. But they also are portraying him as strong-willed and sort of his own, very much his own,
yeah.
And refusing to kowtow or bow to any establishment or anything like that. And I think, you know, and someone else said this first, should give credit to, I think, Andy Greenwald or Chris Ryan, one of the two. I think, to a degree, for America, Johnny Cochran, in remembrance, has become Jackie Chiles of Seinfeld fame. And he really wasn't that guy.
No. But if the glove doesn't fit, you must acquit.
Exactly.
Right. Then that's what you're going to think.
Right.
So it's a fantastic show.
So good.
Just really set it up in the opening. You know, unlike a lot of critics, I haven't seen 17 episodes, but, I can't wait to get to the end. And I went from being a guy who had a lot of questions about this show to be a guy who will enthusiastically recommend you watch it.
Oh, I mean, I'm not going to lie. I was reasonably excited all along, but I definitely went from, like, this could be fun to, holy goodness gracious, this is awesome, by 20 minutes into the thing.
Yeah, and that's good. By the way, when is HBO going to come back with Sunday Night Television? I was just thinking about this as filling a void in my life that
I know Game of Thrones is until friggin' April.
Yeah, they need to get on the ball. All right, so let's try to make people some money on our way out the door, because it is Super Bowl week, and there are never going to be more gambling opportunities for you than the Super Bowl. because there's so many available prop bets out here. And you have you picked up a few that you like? Want to throw some at me?
Yeah, I've got a handful. and most of the ones maybe okay. So first of all, some of these obviously I heard about in various places, and there's like, if we had spent more time prepping this, we could give out some awesome awards for like most horrifying prop bet. Like,
if we'd spent more time prepping this, it'd be a different podcast.
Well, no, but that's true. Most horrifying prop bet is easy because do you know you can bet on an earthquake?
No.
Yes.
I did. Wow.
And here's
what are the odds for the earthquake?
That's what's really messed up. Okay, let me put it this way. What odds would you need to put whatever
money on the earthquake?
Yeah, but like a small amount of money just for a lark. What odds would you need for an earthquake?
Oh, I don't know, like 10,000 to 1.
Okay. And what odds do you think would be reasonable for an earthquake?
I would say 250 to 1 is probably as good as you'd hope to get.
Yeah. Okay. 10 to 1.
10 to 1.
10 to 1.
That is a sucker bet right there.
It's like they're expecting an earthquake. Is there something I should be told about? What is going on here?
Wow.
That's disturbing. Wow. That's like,
wow.
Just as an example, let me just find another 10 to 1 bet here. Like, okay, what color will the Gatorade liquid be poured on the winning coach? Green is 10 to 1.
Whoa.
Okay, like
that's you know, I kind of like green at 10 to 1.
Okay, but that's what I'm saying. That's what should be 10 to 1. Oh my goodness, who will the Super Bowl MVP mention first? Family is 15 to 1. That's saying. These bets are saying Vegas is telling us there's a better chance of an earthquake than the MVP thanking his family before he mentions God.
Wow. Wow. Well, look, considering
should
the
I
probability,
leave?
The
should
probability
I leave the
that
Bay
the
Area?
MVP is Cam is high, and the probability that Cam is going to mention anyone other than Cam first is low.
Yeah. Well,
maybe those are inflated odds.
Themselves is not available to you.
Oh, okay.
It's God, team, the fans or the city that he's in, coach, family, and then there's does not mention any of the above. Yeah. So, which I guess would be Cam.
Cam will mention his teammates first, by the way.
I don't know if he's a God guy. Is he not a God guy?
I think he is a God guy, but I think
people go to God.
Team first.
Okay.
I bet he goes team first.
Well, that gets equal odds to God. So I think that's handicapped about right.
What are the MVP odds while we're at it, actually?
Okay, MVP odds I've got right over here.
I feel like Peyton might strangely be good value.
Peyton is not good value, unfortunately. Cam is minus 130, obviously. Okay. Not a good bet. Peyton Manning, plus 275.
Yeah, see, I feel like that's decent odds. Because,
I mean,
if the Broncos
less than 3 to 1 odds.
I mean, if the Broncos win, right, he's going to be at least the favorite of the
Is he?
Have the ball in his hands the most, you know?
Yeah, so, but I would say if the Broncos win, the favorite is like Von Miller.
If you have a 40% chance of winning.
Von Miller at plus 2,000 is a bet you could get me interested in.
Really?
Von Miller has the same MVP odds as Ted Ginn Jr. and C.J. Anderson.
Hmm.
To me...
Well, see, I think C.J. Anderson's a decent bet for Denver MVP, too.
That's not bad, although he could fumble in the first quarter and Ronnie Hillman could get all his touches. So, like...
I just think quarterbacks win these bets a good bulk of the time. With Manning, knowing it's going to be his last start, if he has a decent game, right? You know what I mean? Like... If it's close and
it's close
and Manning's eligible, then he's gonna get it.
What if they win 15-10 with 5 field goals?
I don't think it like I'm not saying that you'd favor Manning to win in that situation, but I don't think I would necessarily take him out of play.
And he throws two picks.
I mean, look, if he has I'm not saying he couldn't have a terrible game.
Well,
but I'm saying if they win. the odds are good that he'll be MVP. That's the way the narrative heads. The media votes on this stuff.
I disagree with that because I believe if they win, it will have to be such a wildly impressive defensive performance. I don't believe Peyton Manning is going to beat this Carolina defense.
Let's just say, all right, so let's say just hypothetically that it's a game like the New England game that no one thought he could win. And he doesn't have a great game. But, you know, he throws for two touchdowns.
How many sacks did Von Miller have in that game?
You know, the defense plays well. But, like,
how many
sacks? I'm just saying, it's whatever the game was last week.
I think Von Miller was the MVP of that game.
I don't know. I think Peyton Manning would get MVP in that game if you have that same outcome. I do. I'm not saying that Von Miller didn't do more to win the game.
No, I understand what you're saying.
I just think that that's the way it would vote. And that's why I think Manning – at plus 275 is good odds.
I don't love those. I do love Von Miller at plus 2,000. And actually, I think Greg Olsen is a sneaky pick at plus 2,200. But it's hard to imagine any game where Greg Olsen would win instead of Cam Newton. Yeah. So I don't know that MVP is a good bet. But let's get into some of the weirder props.
Okay.
This one I love just because I love Cam and I love the Panthers and I want everything they do to be celebrated. Will the Panthers player who scores their first touchdown give the football to a boy or a girl?
Ooh.
And you get plus 150 if you bet girl.
Yeah, see, I think for plus 150, I'm going girl.
Yeah. I think that's a sneaky good bet. This one is weird because... Now, if it was Bay Bridge, it would be different, so I guess this is trickier, but how many times will the Golden Gate Bridge be shown during the broadcast? The over-under is a half.
Oh, where can I put my money down for that?
Right? And now, over is minus 300, but it seems like they're guaranteed to show the Golden Gate Bridge once, right?
Yeah. Bet you, like, I would go over at 2.5, 3.5, like... Bet your mortgage on the over on that one.
Yeah. This is a good one, kind of, although it depresses me to think about the reasoning for this, but as a Bears fan. But how many times will John Fox be said during the broadcast? And the over-under is one, so you could push. You need two to get over. And under is even. So you could bet the under... saying they'll mention him once or not at all. Because I think one John Fox might be enough.
Yeah, because he's John Fox.
Right. I don't know if you need to mention it again and again. You just say both of these teams fired John Fox. You say it the one time at the most, and it's a push. But it's from kickoff to final whistle, and halftime does not count. So it would be Sims and Nance saying it during the game. Hopefully, I think you could go under and at least be secure in a push.
I tell you, just thinking about people possibly saying John Fox, that's boring.
Yeah.
So I just can't imagine they're going to go to that well twice, even Nance and Sims.
Yeah. All right. So here's a weird one, which, already this has happened around Radio Row, but will Left Shark make an appearance during the halftime show itself?
No.
15-1 odds.
Yeah, I mean, no. It's not happening.
You don't think the NFL is self-referential enough to?
You got Coldplay, and they're already bringing out Beyonce, and I've heard talk of Rihanna, and I've heard talk of Bruno Mars
and Jay-Z.
Jay-Z is a potential possibility.
Yeah,
you know, there's the general Coldplay antics. Just don't leave room for Left Shark. they just
Coldplay,
don't.
By the way, come on.
Are you a Coldplay hater?
No, I'm a Coldplay meh, like normal people, because who cares about Coldplay? But
you know who cares about Coldplay?
A lot of people.
Me.
Really?
I care about Coldplay. I will ride for Coldplay.
I
will ride for Coldplay. I own literally every Coldplay album.
Really?
Yeah. As much as one can own music in today's
sure,
day and
sure.
age.
Why?
Yeah, and not
What's
only that.
What's so great about Coldplay?
I think they're all good. I think they have a giant, not a giant collection, but a significant collection of all time songs. I really do. I mean, I think most bands would go their whole lives to write one Clocks, and they have three or four songs that you know, stand that sort of test. So, and they continue to write them. They continue to write one or two per album.
Yeah, I'm not sure I agree.
I think honestly, if 40-Year-Old Virgin doesn't come out, people look at that band in a completely different way. I really do. And by the way, if you've ever seen Coldplay live,
what happens?
Really
in,
fun.
What happens?
That's the whole. You know how I know you're gay? You like Coldplay.
Oh, that doesn't affect me at all. To me, they're like a poor man's Radiohead that doesn't really.
Not trying to be Radiohead.
I'm not saying they're trying to be. Yeah. I'm saying that's what they end up being is a less interesting to me. They're pop. Whoa. They're Poppyohead.
Less interesting than Radiohead is a bar that. You know,
yeah,
most,
sure.
Almost any band is going to fall under.
That's true.
Since anything about the Arcade Fire.
Would say similar things about the Arcade Fire,
yeah. But you know, to me, that's a credit that Radiohead is a band that dabbles in, you know, arty sounds, but that has seamlessly synthesized contemporary music and pop, you know, in a way that a bunch of other bands I don't think are able to. No, we can't, but aren't able to do. To me, that's the credit for them. And the fact is, they still make really popular music, and they can still make songs that are hit songs, like beyond the little niche of alternative rock that most bands who sound like them are stuck in. You know, I don't know. I think Coldplay is massively underrated.
Interesting. All right, back to a couple of last props that are actually about the game. A couple that I find interesting are Cam Newton rushing prop bets.
Okay.
The rushing record is 64 yards by, can you guess? The rushing record for a Super Bowl, I should say.
Is it, sorry, the quarterback rushing record, I'm assuming.
Correct.
You mean. Russell Wilson?
Steve McNair, 64 Ooh. Yards.
Yeah, that's a good one.
You can bet Cam...
That seems like a Steve McNair rushing total, too. You know what I mean? Like, I'm
yes.
running out there, but
Correct.
Not really.
Yes.
Yeah. I still have Steve McNair speed.
Yeah, 64. Exactly. I trucked some people, but I didn't really get far. Betting Cam to break that record at plus 275. I think that's Ooh. Not a bad bet. 64 yards
bet.
Is within, like, you know, that's definitely within range for him. Now, if you're not that bold, the straight over-under on Cam Newton rushing yards is only 39.5.
I might go there first. Before I made either of those bets, I'd like to see game logs. I'd want to know how many rushing yards did Denver give up to quarterbacks this season.
Yeah. Probably not much, but I don't know how many rushing quarterbacks they faced.
That's true, and that's why I'd want to see game logs. I'd want to know who are the opponents. How did they do against other running quarterbacks? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, not that these guys are even in the same stratosphere, but you know, they played Alex Smith twice a year. How many yards did he get? You know what I mean? Because he's a guy that can take off and hurt you with his legs, and is known to do that. You know. Did Denver play Seattle this year? I don't think they did.
I don't think so, but I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah, but I know. I just like to see before I was, you know, throwing out an over-under there. If I was going to guess, though, I do like those odds. But, you know, Vegas are not idiots, and they know what they're doing when they're setting those odds
yeah.
at the same time.
Very
you know
true.
I mean?
Here,
yeah.
Here's,
do your homework on that.
Indeed. Here are some good cross-sports ones.
Well, these are always fun.
Yes. And I should check who some of these games are against, because that obviously affects things. But the broader ones, which interest me, and one of these not as a bet, but just because the odds are bananas. First of all, there are presidential election ones that are kind of funny. You can bet either team to win the Super Bowl along with Trump, Clinton, or Sanders to win the election. You can parlay any of those, any combination
no
of those. No Cruz available that I see. But cross sport, Panthers win the Super Bowl, Warriors win the title. Guess the odds on that.
Five to one.
2-1.
Ooh, lots got to happen there. Lots got to happen there.
Right? It's kind of like the earthquake one. Like, really? I get 2-1 to bet two teams to win? I mean, I get. Yeah. Granted, the Panthers are one of only two teams that can win it, but the Warriors are a long way from. I mean, I know they're the favorite, but Jesus,
make those as separate bets if you think that's going to happen. You know what I mean?
I bet you
get
better.
Way more value.
Exactly,
yeah, way more value.
All right, now this one's interesting.
Well, I don't even think the Warriors are 2-1 just to win on their own.
No, I don't either. It's a crazy bet. Here's an interesting one. Denver win. Now a lot has to happen in this one, but you get better odds. Denver wins the Super Bowl. Peyton Manning retires. San Antonio wins the title. Tim Duncan retires. And you get 20-1. I'm not sure I love the odds, but it would be an awful lot of fun to root for.
I need to go higher there. Yeah.
If Denver was a better bet, you'd feel better about those odds. These are the ones I always like, and there are more of them, but this is just a sampling. You got to go research them on your own to a degree, but I always love these weird cross sport ones, and there are four of them, that I'm looking at right now. DeMarcus Cousins points and rebounds on his February 7th game, or Cam Newton rushing yards. And what's really crazy about this is like the gamut that can be run in all of this, because DeMarcus, between foul trouble and potentially getting tossed, and or, you know, he's been dealing with an ankle sprain lately, he could really go anywhere, combined points and rebounds. He could essentially be anywhere between, like, 10 and 65.
Yeah. Are the odds even on this?
Yes, just which will be higher.
I think you have to go Cam, though. I mean, if the over-under is 39.5 for Cam rushing yards.
That's barely better than an average DeMarcus Cousins game.
I mean.
Which is crazy. He's playing, but that's how well he's playing.
Yeah, but if he goes 27-10,
he's
still not
there.
Covering that. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, that's so true. You're probably right.
Yeah, I'd have to – look, I'm not saying it's a lock, but I would definitely lean Cam.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. How about total goals in the Montreal Canadiens versus Carolina Hurricanes game? Or,
oh, good Lord.
Or total receptions by Greg Olsen?
This is just a trap, right, where if you place this wager, you're immediately hauled off to some sort of gambling rehab facility.
Perhaps, yeah. Which, by the way, leads me to my third cross-sport prop.
Don't press the button, Kolsky. Don't press the button.
Total Arsenal goals on February 7th or Peyton Manning touchdown passes? Oh.
Well, I can give you some knowledge on this one.
Yeah, Arsenal, meh.
Arsenal slumping right now.
Yep.
Three straight goalless games.
Yeah.
So, typically a team, yeah.
Can't throw right now.
Can't throw right now, but did have two touchdowns in the last outing.
Good point.
The likelihood that Arsenal will score more than two is low. So I think you'd have to lean Manning as your best chance to win that bet.
I tend to agree. All right, this is my favorite one, although it would require to wait a little while. Tiger Woods, first round score at the 2016 Masters.
Okay.
Or Emmanuel Sanders receiving yards.
Ooh.
Now, there's a chance that Emmanuel Sanders makes this a done deal. Because Tiger's not shooting 100, okay? But that, like, 70 to 80 range is right around where Emmanuel Sanders could be. And boy, how much fun would you have watching that Masters round if Emmanuel Sanders finishes with like 77 receiving yards and you're just rooting for bogeys on every hole of Tiger's round? Or the other way around, and he has 68.
He's rooting for his outright failure. I like Tiger on that bet a lot.
Because to be higher?
As a vote of confidence in the Carolina secondary, I just don't – I think the Carolina defense makes that a moot point.
True. Where that's also doable.
You see Sanders maybe somewhere in the 50s, and you know it's a number that Tiger's never going to shoot even.
Yeah. Time. Well, the disadvantage of that bet is like the
just waiting around.
Well, no, actually, I was just going to say the disadvantage is that in all likelihood, it is over after the football game because the vast majority of receiving yards outcomes are outside the range of Tiger Woods' round outcomes.
That's funny, see, because I feel like the disadvantage there would be all the extra Jim Nance you'd have to be exposed to collect.
I don't have your hatred for Jim Nance.
So much extra Nance.
Should we talk about it?
You get Masters Nance.
Okay.
So it's the most smarmy, what a moment Nance that you could possibly get.
Do you hate Joe Buck as well? You do, right?
I do, yeah.
Yeah. It's the same. You hate
Give me Al Michaels.
Sure. But do you really think he's any less pompous or smarmy?
I do. I actually don't hate, like, I dislike Joe Buck. I hate Jim Nance.
Huh.
You know what I mean? And I would say that, let me say broadcaster hate. Like, I'm sure it's not real hate.
It's the toy department, for God's sakes.
Yeah. I just want to be clear about that. The Buck thing is different. Like, Buck, I have problems a little bit with his style. And for me, I've still never really gotten over the Randy Moss moon.
Yeah, that was a rough moment.
It was a clear moment where I felt like a guy who seemed like was about my age and was kind of like me. I realized, oh, he's not one of us, and he's not one of us in like the worst possible way.
Or he's doing some sort of weird posturing thing, which is just as bad.
And I'm not just right at a time when Fox is like airing us, so you want to marry a midget or whatever, on their network. But it's not like it just stems from that. You know, if you go back and listen to the helmet catch or watch a call of the helmet catch, you could not do less. And not in a like less is more way, not in a like that is a play that, sure, it may defy explanation. But there's a lot going on there. And when you watch his call, it's basically like, Manning, first down. That's like, that's the entirety of the call.
I'm sure that's not entirely true, but I see your
point.
It's
like the worst sad Summerall wannabe it drives me nuts.
You're not about to like piss on the grave of Pat Summerall, are you?
Oh, hell no.
Okay.
No. All right. No, Summerall is a damn original.
Okay.
Right. Whereas Nance is just so treacly and just so.
Did you like just watch Downton Abbey or something? Treacly?
No, just saccharine. And
yeah, no, I get it.
He calls Roethlisberger by his first name and just the Brady and the Manning and the endlessness and the like never ever calling Phil Simms out on just the...
Well, what is he supposed to do?
I mean,
that's where I have sympathy for the guy, you know, is because like I have no great love for Jim Nance, although I think he's perfectly fine on a broadcast and I think he's actually a cooler guy than expected, just in terms of what I've heard from him in radio interviews and stuff. I don't mind.
What about the Final Four? Like, I'm gonna give you a cutesy pun to end the year, like thing that he does all the time.
No, I mean it's a
you're
little,
into that.
I'm not into it. It's a little Ron Burgundy-esque, but to me, it's kind of like. It's kind of like this is the game. He's playing the game, and maybe he's playing it in an old-fashioned way, but like it doesn't bother me so much, is really what I'm saying. That stuff, it's like when my dad makes a bad pun. You know what I mean? It's like, that's awful, and it hurts me a little bit, but it's sort of what you get.
I just...
And I just don't... I have to say, the place I disagree with you the most, and I do think he's the best broadcaster of the bunch, but I don't think Al Michaels is less smarmy by any stretch.
Oh, I do.
That guy strikes me as every bit and I would say the same about another great broadcasting treasure, Bob Costas, whose job now is just to
Bob
talk
Costas
down
is,
to America.
Yeah, he's professionally smart.
Yeah. To me, Al Michaels is right in line with those guys. The guys who don't strike me as smarmy stand out. That's Gus Johnson. That's Dave Pasch.
What about Musburger? Wouldn't you like to see Musburger call an NFL game again?
I would. That I would love. Brent Musburger stands alone for me.
He's the man's a national treasure.
And he's got great gambling knowledge.
That's right. As does Al. That's
true. Al gets the gambling stuff in. I'll credit him for that.
You're not getting that from Nance, because he doesn't seem like an actual person.
No.
He seems like a guy that they literally defrosted.
Well, that's
Butler
why
Cabin,
I think that's why the Buck comparison is
they like wheel him out, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's why you can compare him safely to Joe Buck, I think.
I suppose, yeah.
We got way off track there.
We did get off track. All right.
That feels like a perfect way to grind to a halt here, is to somehow devolve into a discussion of Jim Nance.
Yeah, for certain. We could do this forever. all right, so let's give out some – we gave out some homework a little bit, right, The Last Supper?
You should watch The Last Supper.
Okay.
You really should. We had talked about giving each other mutually the homework of another new show. Now I'm blanking on what it was.
Was it London Spy?
Yes. Although now that I'm saying that out loud, that seems like a...
It does seem like a lot of work, doesn't it?
A London bridge too far, if you will.
Can I give you some homework? And
I suppose so. No promises. Is it The Americans? Because that came up.
That's great, and you should watch that. But, I mean, you got three seasons to dive in on there. That's a lot. You're probably not going to tackle that by Wednesday.
Probably not.
If I could be so tacky as to plug another podcast that I'm involved in.
Oh, boy.
I've been doing a podcast with Stephen Hayden, formerly of Grantland. Well, I'm not on this podcast. I just produce it. It's called Celebration Rock. And the most recent episode is kind of about the state of Coldplay at the Super Bowl. So take 45 minutes to listen to Stephen Hayden talk to Larry Fitzmaurice, formerly of Pitchfork, about Coldplay in a very even-handed way. That would be my homework. And if I do say
do they
myself,
discuss
I'm pretty excited. In the top 20 pop music podcast on iTunes right now.
Oh, look at you.
Yeah.
Great work.
It's a good show. You should check it out.
Can I ask, do they talk about how Chris Martin's public existence hurts the band?
I think there's some discussion of that.
Because that's I'm not gonna lie.
At one point, it's posited that Gwyneth Paltrow is the second most famous member of Coldplay.
Yeah, I think that's accurate. In fact, I don't think there's any question that's accurate.
Well, only the member of Coldplay part might be.
Well, yeah, but that's kind of the point. I would like to think I'm above this, but I think I'd be lying if I told you that Chris Martin existing in pop culture was not part of my lack of love for Coldplay.
Really?
They're fine. I mean, if I thought they were essential musically, this wouldn't be an issue, but I think it contributes to me that, and a sort of blah feeling about their music contributes to my distaste in general for the concept of Coldplay.
Not that we're going to.
By the way, I love their first album with Trouble and Yellow, and I think that's a very good album. And the one after that,
Russia Blood to the Head.
Yeah,
that's
fine.
To me is the one. But
after that, I lost touch.
I find Chris Martin to be a genuinely warm and funny person, and it's weird, I mean, I think because he named his kids weird names, I think he got a tag as like a goofy thing, and I feel like that is at least 95% her, you know what I mean? Sincerely doubt it was Chris Martin's idea to name his kid Apple.
Was it his idea to have children with Gwyneth Paltrow?
Yes.
Then, in a sense, it was his idea to name his children Apple.
I suppose. I don't know.
Like I, you think he, you think he jumped in there not realizing Gwyneth Paltrow was odd in a sort of obnoxious way?
I don't know. But you know what? I have a funny story. I have a funny Coldplay story about this, and I will share that on the next podcast. How's that for you?
That's like the second time in 8 or 9 episodes we've teased ahead to the following episode.
What, I wish we could lay odds on whether or not we'll actually pay that tease off.
That would be a great prop bet.
All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. And we'll do this again in 7 days.
Don't throw it all away on Super Bowl prop bets. Bye.
Bye.
This game's in the Admiral refrigerator. The door is closed. The light's out. Butter's getting hard. The eggs are cooling. And the Jell-O is jiggling.
So long, everybody.
And do me a favor. Have yourself a tremendous evening.